Chapter 6 Sacrifice. With a hiss, the array beneath Ed's back sparked to life. It crackled with raw strength as energy danced along the lines and ignited the air. Wind rushed around him, cooling the sweat on his skin and clotting the blood that pooled on the floor. Grit and dust scratched his face and coated his lips with grime. His breath came in pants, accelerated by fear and confusion. He could sense the alchemy at work around him and could feel the keening pull of it on his flesh. There was so much energy that it made him long to reach out and touch it. Common sense warned him that it would hurt, but if it weren't for his wounds, he would have cast the internal caution aside and lost himself in its mesmerizing clutches. Abruptly, the gate subsided and the light diminished. Beneath him, the ground fell away, leaving him hovering over nothing. The alchemy became a steady pull, tugging him wantonly towards something. Ed's heart sank. He recognized this touch. He could never forget the demanding clutches of the gate. Opening his eyes, he saw that the warehouse was gone. There were no walls at his sides or tiles over his head. He was lying on the faint traces of the array, and he could feel the pattern scorching him where he was pressed against its lines. Cautiously, he removed his hand from his neck. No blood flowed, although it still stained his fingertips vivid scarlet. He stared upwards at the featureless sky. Every instinct told him this was the same strange plane that the Gate of Truth occupied. But it had changed. The air normally glowed a warm yellow, but now the color had leached away. Drabs of darkness and shadow stretched as far as he could see, forming a dense fog that clung in soft vapors to his skin and hair. He blinked moisture from his lashes and hesitantly sat up, letting his gaze drift around the undefined horizon. Only one feature interrupted the vista of nothingness, and Ed swore in disbelief. Not far away stood the gate, its doors hanging from its hinges like the broken wings of a bird. The darkness beyond it was barely constrained, sending out questing tendrils in all directions. Massive gouges scarred the wood. Cracks ran across the lintel. The huge engraving of an eye had been blinded, almost obliterated by someone's fury. As he watched, another rent appeared in the timber, and crumbs of stone fell away from the frame. On the threshold were the pile of remains. They were still locked within one part of the array, and Ed could see the cluster of sigils around them. The triangular symbols were crossed out by straight, parallel lines. He had seen them once before in an old religious text where alchemy had been assumed to be the power of the gods. They were meant to show sacrifice, an offering of sorts. With a sinking feeling, he realized that the same marks surrounded him, one for each point of the compass.
"You survived."
The woman's voice came from behind him, and he turned to stare into her impassive face. Her gaze was focused on the doors, and her scarlet lips twisted into a beautiful smile as she closed her eyes and tipped her head back.
"It's finally time."
"Time for what?"
"Revenge."
Looking at him through half-closed lashes, she smirked coyly.
"The gate is a balancing point. It keeps the flow of energy between this world and whatever lies beyond equal. At least, it used to."
She walked forward, not taking her eyes from the portal's commanding presence, as a tendril of shadow coiled lovingly around her hand.
"Everything passes through those doors, and the gate learns. It has the knowledge of everything. Kindness, love, hatred, and fury. Which do you think it's seen more of?"
She did not await his answer, instead cocking her head to one side.
"Emotion is so difficult, don't you think? It pollutes everything. An object becomes infected with hate, passion, jealousy. It sees all the wrongs of humanity and, in turn, becomes more human itself.
She stepped forward, carefully keeping one foot outside the runes as she whispered in his ear.
Have you ever wondered why there is a bright light surrounded by so much darkness?
Her lips brushed his cheek, and her breath whispered across his skin, making him shudder.
All the good things, the knowledge, the love, the strength, have slowly succumbed. I made sure of it. I strengthened the shadows and drowned everything else.
Why? Ed asked, trying to understand what she was saying.
Punishment.
Her face became hard and distant, and he saw her fingernails bite into her palm.
It would not return to me someone I had lost. It had no concept of negotiation, only the rules that its creator instilled in it.
With a flick of her hair, she stepped back, squaring her shoulders as she turned away.
I changed all that. I made sure that whatever passed through was tainted with rage or grief or pain. I killed and tortured and sacrificed everyone I could. And when that failed, I gave it the human remains of those killed in war or destroyed by another's hand.
She sighed then, and for a moment she looked human and desperate.
I was trying to break the rules, to cause some kind of overload.
Her laugh was abrupt and mocking.
Instead, I gave it intelligence. I taught it the concept of greed, and I made a deal.
A deal? I thought you were getting your revenge.
I am destroying the gate that was. I am punishing the light at its heart.
Her voice rose in fury.
That is the inflexible machine with nothing more than vague sentiment and intelligence.
She waved her hand dismissively.
At least, it was. I doubt there's anything left of it by now. I made an agreement with the creature it has become. I will set the shadows free from the gate, and it will give me that which I was denied.
Ed frowned, letting his eyes roam her slim figure as she paced back and forth in front of him. She was distracted with her efforts to validate what she had done, and he had found his mind was working on two levels. One, more basic and instinctual, was trying to plan his escape. The other was conjuring question after question. One fact would not leave his mind at rest. He took a deep breath before speaking. Had you already started contaminating the gate when Al and I tried to bring back our mother? She laughed then, like one would chuckle at a child's naivety. Her eyes danced with mirth as she looked him over.
My dearest boy, the gate you know is nothing but a ghost of its former self. I'm sure you've questioned its idea of equivalence 1,000 times. I mean, look at you.
She gestured to his automail and the scars on his flesh.
You have a fine body, and yet the gate sought to rob you of it all, like a cat playing with a mouse.
Another giggle parted her lips.
I've been destroying this place for centuries, before even your father set foot here. I was the first to master alchemy and challenge the gate.
She looked over her shoulder at the portal, sighing as another slash carved up the wood.
Before I began my work here, there was no darkness and no light. There was only silver. I have divided it and pitted each side against the other.
She bit her lip, a flush warming her alabaster cheeks as though she were a schoolgirl with a naughty secret.
Now I've finally won.
Ed swallowed as she crossed her arms over her chest so that her palms rested on her shoulders. Slowly, as if she were reveling in the moment, she drew them across her breasts, leaving trails of alchemical power in the wake of her fingertips. Gracefully, she bowed low, about to touch her hands to the line of the array. Wait! He moved forwards, deliberately scuffing rubble across the rune at the northern point of the circle which held him captive. She did not notice, Her eyes were too glazed with the approach of her achievement. "I've got one last question. Who are you?" For a moment, he thought she would not answer. Her expression flickered in confusion, as though she could not understand the relevance. Finally, she managed, in a very distant voice, to respond.
"They call me Carmine."
The array flared to life just as Ed lunged for the break he had made in the lines. He had to act now before the other aspects of the design compensated for the minuscule flaw. Heat flashed across his flesh, flaying his skin and making him gasp in pain. His knees gave way and he fell to the ground, pulling his body into a roll and letting his momentum carry him free of his prison lines. Wind stirred again, a breathy gasp at first. In moments, it was a snaggle-toothed gale that tore at his hair and clothes. He could barely stand up, and the frame of the gate groaned in torment as it began to collapse under the force of the pressure both inside and out. Something moaned, a desperate, sad sound in the heart of the darkness beyond the doors. A rough, splintering roar filled the air, and the doors were wrested free from their last tenuous hold. Ed ducked, putting his hands over his head as one flew over him, crashing away into the distance. Massive cracks yawned in the stone of the frame. The simple designs that had once wrought the rock had vanished, and one side was already slumping dangerously. The moan came again, increasing in volume to a tormented scream as the array flared more brightly, sending arcs of power from one side to the other. Ed had never seen anything like it, and he staggered to his feet as he tried to think of some way to stop what was happening. Desperately, he tried to obliterate the design, but it had no effect. The markings that had offered him up as sacrifice had been weak and superficial, but the main array had been carved over time. It formed deep furrows in the strange surface of the plane and was undisrupted by Ed's attempts to erase it. An explosion rang out, pushing him back to the ground with the force of its shockwave and deafening him to everything but the tortured wails that were now emanating from the gate. He blinked several times to try and clear his vision. What he saw made his stomach rebel. Tear-filled eyes looked out of the blackness, tortured by a pain they had no voice to explain. He could see the dim shapes of children's bodies being torn apart by the same dark tendrils that they had once controlled. It was just as Carmine had said. The gate was turning against itself, and the darkness seemed bent on destroying everything.
"Big Brother!"
Ed balked, his body shaking as the familiar voice of Nina Tucker rang out from the abyss, proof that Sho Tucker had never succeeded in returning the soul of his daughter to the doll-like copies he had created. Other voices, similar and alien, cried out to him. Some called his name, while others were undirected pleas for mercy. He had always thought the owners of those eyes were evil. It had always been they who had reached out to claim the price that had been asked. But now they were victims at mercy of something he did not truly understand. The screams began to choke and die, and Ed lifted his head to stare at Carmine. Her eyes were vacant and soulless as she looked into the shadows that were slowly freeing themselves from the doorway. Her hair fluttered around her face, and her painted lips were parted around whispered words. Ed tried to make them out over the sound of the wind, but what he heard sounded like a completely foreign language to him. "Stop it!" he yelled, letting the gale carry his voice. "Whatever you think it will give you is wrong. If it's lost all idea of balance and equivalent exchange, then why would it keep its word to you?" She faltered for a moment, and he thought he saw a tear carve its way down her cheek. The madness was gone from her face, and in its place was horrified understanding. Carmine could not reply as her lips continued to chant the strange incantation, but her eyes shone with a desperate plea for forgiveness. She could not turn back, not while there was still hope. It felt like a punch to the stomach, not just because he could see that there was some semblance of sanity and regret in her expression, but because he had been in the same place. He knew that desperate and bitter bile of anger. It would have been easy as a child to turn to rage and revenge. Every time he had seen more of the world's sin, he had felt more of his innocence die. It left him cold and empty. He had known, even then, that he had to be careful. It would be too easy to let the void left by his mother fill with obsessive revenge. Retrieving Al's body had given him a quest and saved him from that fate. It could easily have been different if he had not been able to bind Al's soul to the armor, if he had lost his brother entirely. Then he knew that it could be him who was activating this array and ripping apart the one thing that had robbed him of so much. The screaming fell silent, leaving nothing but the howl of the tempest. A chill swept over his body at the sudden peace, and he turned to stare at the yawning hole of the portal. There were no eyes in there now. They had all been closed by destruction. The blackness boiled within its confines, and the idle tendrils that seeped out into the air began to move with new purpose. Around the remains and corpses, the marks of sacrifice began to glow and shift, allowing the dark, serpentine hands access to the bones. They moved like snakes, weaving between ribs and slithering over flesh both rotted and fresh alike. One wormed its way into the pocket of a newly dead sergeant, getting trapped within the confines. Another deftly removed the eye patch of the thug and curled up in the empty socket as though it were a nest. Abruptly, the bones began to snap. The flesh shriveled in a gruesome acceleration of the decomposition process. Edward wanted to turn away, but his eyes were glued to the scene. He did not understand. The gate already had the minds and spirits of the dead, so what purpose could the bodies serve? Clothing and skin flaked away into swirling dust. It whirled upwards and fell back down, caught in a private vortex. Suddenly, dazzlingly, light ignited in the darkness. It was the faintest collection of fragments, like something breaking free of the grim shade of malice. They tore outwards, burning through the air and embedding themselves into the swirling particles where they hovered, jewel bright at the core of the cloud. Piece by piece, the dust began to aggregate, collecting together in columns of various heights that took on humanoid shapes. Bone and muscle, flesh and cloth solidified from the air. There were six in all, and Ed let his eyes rake along the uniformed rank until they came to rest on Mace Hughes. His broad shoulders were held rigid, as though he were on the parade ground, and there was no sign of emotion in his face. He was like a statue, with neither breath nor life to give. The others were just the same. Another flash, more blinding this time, and Ed heard the sudden coughs and gasps for air. The military postures had dissipated entirely, and the men and women were clutching at their chests, their faces flooding with color and life as they stumbled back from the gate. Ed felt his body tense, automatically seeking the telltale mark of the homunculi. Were these soulless copies of the soldiers who had died? The newly dead sergeant was the first to dispel Ed's doubts, as his hand instantly went to the wound that had taken his life, exploring the mended flesh on his forehead curiously. He remembered being murdered, and as the others began to recognize and respond to the various ranks of those around them, Ed knew that they had not lost anything to the gate. They had more than just snatches of memory. They had total recall. The stars of light had been the core of their being, their spirits. These people were not homunculi. They were real humans brought back from the dead. But why? A spear of darkness shot out from the gate, impaling a young lieutenant through the chest. She cried out in agony, her newly living body trembling as death reached up to seize her once more. Scrabbling futilely at the mist-like barb, she tried to pull herself free as she was hauled inexorably towards the threshold. Hughes dashed forward, squinting without his spectacles as he tried desperately to break apart the spar that held her in place. Other screams cut through the air, and Ed knew with a sickening certainty what was happening. The darkness in the gate could gain more power by receiving the trinity of body, mind, and spirit in one strike. The whole held greater strength than the sum of its parts. "Spread out! If you huddle together, it can get two of us at once!" Mace's voice was strong and firm, the power of his rank easily giving him the confidence he needed to pull the remaining two soldiers from their terrified stupor. He moved with certainty, darting away from a questing rope of shadow as he tried to find a way to escape. His jaw, shadowed with stubble, was clenched tight as he realized the situation was hopeless. The array still held them trapped. Without thinking, Ed clapped his hands together and slapped them down onto the array. The familiar sound made Hughes twist around, and a vivid grin twisted his lips when he saw the alchemist only a short distance away. Ed lifted one shoulder in a faint shrug, hoping that Mace would get the message. He could only do so much. They would have to be ready when the time came to break free. He could feel the surge and flow of energy beneath his palms and slowly began integrating his own influence on the current. It was slow at first, the faintest disruption to the pattern, but gradually it grew more turbulent. Carmine screamed, her voice catching in her throat as her body twitched like a puppet on a string. Her power and Ed's met in a twisted knot of potency, and Ed felt his arms shake with the strain. Something in his chest cracked painfully, and he choked on blood as another rib broke under the stress. He could feel a sticky trickle working its way down his side and gave a bark of hysterical laughter. He hadn't thought he had anything left to bleed. Was he even still alive? Pressing his palms harder into the floor, he swore as a negative feedback loop began to develop, effectively short-circuiting the array. The air began to squeal like fingernails down a blackboard, and it shimmered with heat haze. Sweat prickled down Ed's spine as each breath began to burn. He and Al had both activated the same array before, and it had never had this kind of a reaction. But then, they both had the same goal in mind. Now he was trying to stop Carmine while she was still struggling desperately to proceed. Ear-splitting pops began to sound, and Ed managed a wild grin of triumph as cracks began to cleave the strange ground near the gate. The array was breaking apart, and with one last blow, the three remaining soldiers broke free and began to sprint towards him. The gate collapsed, completely wrought apart by the forces that were at work. There was nothing left but two stumps that marked its boundary, and a great, wavering hole into nothingness. Like ink, the blackness seeped outwards, devouring everything as it spread in all directions. It was like a cancer, taking root and feeding off of the energy that still coursed through this plane. Unregulated and with no conduit through which to pass, the power seemed to become dangerous and feral, tempting and passionate. Ed managed to get to his feet, pulling against the strengthening urge to simply lie down and give up. There was no way that he was becoming fodder for the gate, or whatever it was. He began to walk backwards, letting the three soldiers catch up with him. Two ran past without paying him much attention, but Mace stumbled to an abrupt halt, squinting as he tried to bring him into focus. "Ed!" That one word was hushed with relief, as though the man truly could not believe his eyes. Wordlessly, Ed reached into his pocket and handed the Brigadier General his spectacles. "You'll need these." He pressed them into Hughes's hand, managing a faint smile as Mace grinned at the familiar sound of Ed's voice. Quickly, he shoved the glasses on his nose, looking around in disbelief. "What is this place? What's going on? Did you do this?" "I'll answer your questions later," Ed said bluntly, grabbing Mace by the wrist and setting off after the other soldiers at a painful sprint. "Right now, we have to get out of here." Hughes nodded, searching Ed's face as he tried to glean his own answers from the young alchemist's expression, before concentrating on the indefinite horizon. Ed gritted his teeth, letting go of Mace's wrist to clutch at his own ribs. The grinding bones jostled against one another and sawed at his skin. He shouldn't be fleeing. He shouldn't even be breathing. Mace didn't miss the movement and paled when he noticed the blood trickling over Ed's fingers. "You're wounded!" Ed managed a weak grunt of hollow laughter. "You don't know the half of it." Something black shot over Ed's shoulder, and he heard the gory, organic sound of flesh being torn up. Up ahead, the sergeant crumpled to the floor, his breath rattling through a slit throat as dark tendrils gathered him into their embrace. The remaining woman, a captain according to her rank, was sobbing in horror now. She staggered to a halt, her face buried in her arms as she slumped to her knees. Slowing down, Ed put his hands on her shoulders, twisting to face her so that he could keep watch on the sea of darkness that followed them. "Come on, you've got to keep running."
"But there's no way out," she managed between sobs, her body trembling with crippling fear. "We can't run forever."
A wail of agony raked through the air, and Ed looked up to see Carmine convulsing in the grips of her power. Dark vines of shadow were twisting themselves into a cocoon around her body, pressing themselves into her mouth and nose. Still, the desperate sound leaked out, pitching into sobs and mumbled prayers as the creature she had sought to bargain with claimed her for itself. "It's that or give in," Ed muttered, realizing he was leaving bloody fingerprints on the captain's jacket. She opened her mouth to speak again, but her voice died in her throat as her body twitched. Ed staggered back in shock, automatically shielding Mace with his own frame as the woman slumped. Three tendrils had buried themselves in her back and were slowly beginning to drag her into the heart of darkness. Ed moved stiffly, hurting Hughes back as he tried desperately to think of something that could help them. He knew too well that the gate would not let them go until it was done with them. "I don't even have my push knives," Hughes growled quietly, patting his pockets in annoyance. "What idiot buried me without a weapon?" The man hesitated, pulling out a small square of paper and staring at it. It was a picture of Alicia. Despite himself, Ed smiled. "I think someone thought you'd rather have a photo of your daughter." Mace swallowed tightly and nodded once. "They were right, but even I can admit that it's not the most practical object to have at the moment." They kept moving backwards, their boots echoing strangely as the wind died. The air became breathless, as though the universe had stopped to watch the inevitable encroachment of the boiling interface on the two helpless men. Ed swallowed tightly, knowing that they were out of options. If the gate, or whatever was left of it, still controlled who could enter or leave this plane, then he and Mace were stuck. Squaring his shoulders, Ed stopped his retreat, ignoring Hugh's questioning look. As though mimicking his actions, the shade stopped its advance, hovering a few feet away. Like silk curtains, it parted, black leading to more black as a figure stepped out of its depths. The only color was the gold rings on her fingers and the scarlet of her lips. Everything else, from her skin to her hair to her eyes, was gray. She moved stiffly, as though she were unused to inhabiting a human body. And when she spoke, Ed realized that the invasion of her being had begun long before this day. It was clear that It was not several people that had spoken from Carmine's lips, but millions. Her voice was that of all the murdered, broken, angry souls that had passed into the gate.
"You cannot win,"
she said softly, gray tongue darting out to lick her lips as her gaze stared blankly ahead. It looked like she was reading his soul rather than seeing his face.
"This place will only let you go once my task has been completed."
Cupped in her hands was a tiny fragment of light, the only thing left of the burning heart of the gate. It flickered and waned even as Ed watched. But once again, he thought he felt a faint sense of recognition from it. Her eyes focused then, and her pale face darkened faintly with thirsty desire.
"All I need is one more life. So who will it be?"
Ed clenched his fists at his sides, his mind whirling as he tried to work out a way where both he and Hughes could get out of this alive. None came to mind. His throat tightened as grief flashed through him. There really wasn't a choice to be made. He had already broken his promise to Al, and now he would not be coming back. "Mace, get out of here. She'll let you go." "What? What the hell are you talking about?" Hughes shook his head fiercely. "I'm the one who is already dead. If one of us stays behind, it should be me." Ed looked at the man's face, feeling his heart clench when he saw the fierce protectiveness in his eyes. He had always treated Al and Ed like wayward younger brothers, or perhaps even sons, although he wasn't quite old enough to be their father. He had been murdered by the homunculi because of their actions. Now he was trying to protect them again. The throb of movement in the hollow of Mace's throat, steady and rhythmic, caught Ed's eye. With a sad smile, he shook his head, knowing that Carmine was watching their exchange with hungry interest. "You've got a pulse, Hughes. You're alive. Once I get back, I'm as good as dead." He held up his bloody hand in emphasis, indicating the broken ribs that had perforated his chest and the gash in his neck that no longer bled. "I don't even know if I'm really still alive. It's hard to tell in a place like this." He saw Hughes hesitate, then took a deep breath, saying the one thing that would sway him. "Alicia misses you." Green eyes flashed with unshed tears, torn between horror and a dreadful gratitude. Slowly, Hughes bowed his head, and Ed knew that the man was beaten. It was cruel, in a way, to mention his daughter. But at the same time, it was true. Hughes had the chance to return to his family. There was a full life waiting for him back in Amstress. For Ed, there was a month at most, and even he had to acknowledge that his injuries had probably reduced that to a matter of minutes. "Send him back now!" Ed snapped, his words strong and fierce as Carmine tossed back her head. She seemed to hesitate, and Ed knew she had been planning to take them both. "Do it, or you won't get either of us."
"You plan to fight?"
she asked tartly, her eyes raking over his trembling body.
"You wouldn't last a minute."
"Let Hughes go back to Central without any tricks, and I'll come quietly," he smirked, letting his false bravado take control. "You said you wanted a powerful alchemist." He spread his arms wide and bowed mockingly. "I'm all yours." Carmine pursed her lips and nodded once. With a flick of her hand, the air glowed for a moment, and Ed felt Hugh's warmth leave his side. In the same heartbeat, a bolt of darkness shot out from the oily sea at Carmine's back, and he had no time for anything more than a surprised gasp as it cleaved neatly between his ribs. He had expected it to hurt, but instead there was just an icy chill, as if it were slowly drawing the warmth out of him. His breath fogged from between his lips, and his eyes began to lose their focus. Was it his imagination, or was something glowing? Carmine left forward, grabbing his hair and yanking his head back so that she could look into his face. He saw the array on his forehead reflected in her eyes. For the first time since he had retrieved Al's body, it was glimmering bright blue. What was the sense in that? The arrays had allowed him to open the gate as part of a human transformation. But he was already here. His eyes felt the spark of light in the woman's left palm. It was flashing and pulsing, gaining some vestige of strength, torn from somewhere. In comparison, his own will seemed to ebb away. He thought he was supposed to be feeding the darkness, not the light. It happened so quickly that neither alchemist had time to react. Like a firework, the light shot from Carmine's hand, shattering the dark spar that held Ed in place, and surging straight for his chest. Burning heat scorched its way into him, driving away the chill and pushing him backwards. The air around him changed, losing its gray overtones. It felt like he was falling, but at the same time staying still. He could see Carmine's face contorted with confusion and rage as, behind her, the darkness leapt. Then it was gone. He lay in the center of the array on the warehouse floor, looking up at the sky. The tattered clouds had vanished, leaving the night bedecked with the diamonds of the stars. Around him, the remains of the walls loomed like half-toppled tombstones. The roof had gone, no doubt blasted apart by the explosion of alchemy that Carmine had wrought on the place. Pain lanced aggressively through his head, and he managed a feeble groan before he shut his eyes. Running footsteps hurried closer, and someone skidded to a halt at his side. Warm fingers checked his pulse, slipping over the smooth skin of his throat and moving down to his ribs. It should have hurt, shouldn't it? There should be wounds. Ed's mind was fuzzy, and he knew that he was not going to hang on to consciousness much longer. Someone swore in surprise, and he managed to open his eyes and look at Hughes. "It wasn't a dream, then?" he croaked, grimacing as his head flashed with unfamiliar images and memories that were not his own. "No dream," Hughes sounded stunned, and Ed realized the enormity of what that meant. After all this time, Mace had literally come back from the dead. "It's no dream," he repeated softly, his lips parting into a grin, and he sat back on his heels and chuckled in disbelief. "I should have known you had something up your sleeve, Ed." Ed felt his eyes drift shut, wishing he knew what had happened. He wanted to get up and get back to Central Command, but his body would not respond. He knew that there would be questions to answer and things to sort out, but he was too tired. He just needed some sleep. It tugged at his mind, and the harder he resisted, the harder it pulled. Fingers wrapped around his flesh wrist, and he realized that Hughes was keeping a check on his pulse. "You can't leave now, Ed. I've only just got home." His voice was hoarse with worry, the light tone fading as he seemed to realize that Ed was not as unharmed as he appeared. "You've got to tell me what happened while I was gone." Deft hands kept checking him over for wounds, and Ed managed a hiss of pain as a fingertip alighted on the scar on his chest. Fuck, that hurt! The mark on his forehead and his flesh arm throbbed to the same beat of agony. What the hell was going on? "Just hang in there, Ed. It sounds like help is on the way." Hughes gripped his hand, his touch just as firm as Mustang's had been. Perhaps they shared the belief that they could hold onto the spirit by hanging onto the body. Edward wished he would be more gentle. He didn't need broken fingers on top of everything else. Besides, he wasn't going anywhere. There were sirens, and Ed dimly wondered how he was going to explain Hughes's reappearance to a load of common soldiers. If they found out he really had been brought back from the dead, they would treat him like a test subject. He would not get to see Gracia or Alicia. Instead, he'd be locked away, a miraculous discovery with no rights whatsoever. "Hughes," his voice was an urgent whisper, "if anyone asks, your death was staged. You've been on a mission. Don't tell them anything else." He saw Mace look at him with surprised respect. Obviously, the man had not thought of the possible repercussions of what had happened. The moonlight turned his glasses opaque for a moment as he nodded in agreement. "Of course. I take it the military hasn't changed much." The corner of Ed's mouth lifted into a smile, and his eyelashes fluttered against his cheeks as sleep finally claimed him. Slumber's soft caress eased his pain as his breathing fell into a deep, easy rhythm, and he let reality fade away. It would still be there when he awoke.